passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, JJ Cooper here on the Baseball America Prospect Podcast, and very excited to be joined by one of the better young pitchers in the Braves organization, Tucker Davidson. And I'm excited to do this, Tucker. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. But especially I'm excited because as I did our Saturday League Top 20 Prospects list last year, your name was one that just kept coming up more and more and more. Breakthrough year last year. I know not for you. I mean, you've been doing this before, but your first full year in pro ball, starts in the pen, ends up as a starter. And kind of that's a long lead-in just to kind of ask you, I mean, as you get ready to go into, you know, now your second full pro season, kind of how have you ended up here? What was your path, you know, to getting here? And I guess the starting question with that is when did pro baseball become a goal, or when did pro baseball become what you felt like was a possibility for you?
Oh, I mean, I've had a crazy path. So it was probably, I mean, I've dreamed of always being a professional baseball player since I was little. I remember I was an only child, so I didn't have brothers or sisters to throw with. So I had a brick wall outside my house, and I would just throw a tennis ball into it every day. And I would imagine pitching in the World Series Game 7, bottom ninth, every kid's dream that we always wanted to, like, we want to be a part of. So I'm bought in on that as it early age, and I was a football player in high school also, so, and my dad played football, so I was wanting to play football, and it was my sophomore year of high school, and I had a summer coach who's like, you're pretty good at this baseball thing, I think you should probably start taking it seriously, so started doing some real training. I was like, okay, somebody's telling me I'm pretty good at this, so ended up getting a couple offers, ended up signing to Texas Tech University out of high school, and ended up deciding to go to Midland Junior College. Mm-hmm. And fell in love with junior college baseball. It's something else. I mean, the guys you meet, the coaches, the long practices. And so my freshman year,
Texas JUCO baseball is absolutely legit. I mean, there's no question
about
that.
I mean, I saw guys that were throwing 95 to 100 miles an hour, and I'm like, how are you doing this? So it was really eye-opened me that junior college baseball is the real deal. I mean, you don't just have to go Division I, Division II to have good baseball. Junior college baseball is always a possibility, and I think kids kind of think, oh, I want to go D1 or I'm done, and they don't think about the possibility of junior college baseball. It's right there with them.
So you go to junior college, you're at Midland, and at that point, I mean, does it become like, okay, this is, you know, more of a realistic possibility, or even at that point, as you start, you know, working out at Midland, is it still seem like kind of a distant dream?
It kind of seemed like a distant dream. I had a couple scouts in high school talk to me, but there was nothing ever. Hey, you're probably going to get drafted this year. It was like, hey, we're interested. Fill out a couple questionnaires for us. And I'm like, okay. So my freshman year had a terrible fall, and I'm just getting eaten alive. And that next spring, I was like, okay, if I really want to play baseball even at the next level, I've got to figure some stuff out. So I figured it out, and velo started going up. I hit 94 for the first time my sophomore year, and some scouts were like, hey, you have a pretty good chance of getting drafted. So I bought in on it. I was, okay, I'm going to do everything in my power. I'm going to throw well. I'm going to work hard on the week. weekends after starts, I'm going to do everything in my power to get drafted. So, I mean, it's always been, I want to play professional baseball. When I get my chance, I'm going to take advantage of it.
And then the phone does ring, right?
And it starts ringing, and you're like, oh, my goodness, this is actually happening. And I found out via Twitter when I got drafted. I'm sitting there laying in bed, like, I hadn't heard anything from a scout or anything like that. And all of a sudden, all these Braves accounts start following me. And I'm like, all right, what's going on? And I see on the MLB draft tracker that I've been taken. And about 2 minutes later, I've got my area scout, Nate Dion, call me. And I'm like, whoa. And he's like, congratulations, I'm sure you already found out. I was like, yeah, thanks, Twitter.
So what is that moment like, you know, when you realize it has happened?
I couldn't believe it. It was kind of, oh, my goodness, this just happened. And I was kind of in shock because when it happens, you're like, I just got drafted. And it's such a huge honor because not very many people get to do that. And now you get to call yourself a professional baseball player. It took me a couple of days to sink in. It really sunk in when I was flying out to Orlando for the mini camp. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is actually happening. This is no longer a dream. I'm actually going to play for a professional baseball club.
So you do, you sign, you're a pro baseball player. Then with that, how much was it like what you expected? How different was it from what you expected?
I mean, I had heard stories. I had talked to other people that had played pro ball. My best friend is with the Mets, and he was like, Thomas McElwraith.
Okay.
And he was, hey, like, you're going to have to learn some Spanish pretty quickly. So I'm like, oh, I took some classes in high school. I should be okay. And I remember the first day I'm out there, I threw like a bullpen that day. And there's a kid out there throwing 98 to 102, and I'm like, whoa, wait, I've never seen this before, and he's 17 years old. So that kind of hit me hard, and I was like, okay.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can guess it. Was it Jeffrey?
No, it was Luis Mora.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupt you. Continue.
Oh, you're fine. And it was just kind of like, okay, like everybody's pretty good. These Latins aren't just all talk. They're pretty good. So it took me a while to adjust. I'd never thrown every 5 days. I'd never came out of the bullpen before. So that was kind of a big change for me. Was I'm used to having a set day. Hey, you're going to throw Friday night. All right, I'm going to be ready for that and have bullpens in a day. And then it was, hey, Tucker, I need you in the seventh inning. All right, got to figure a way to get out, get ready hot, and let's get it going and get out.
I don't want to get too focused on it, but it is something. I mean, you want to talk about a difference. You're used to, as a starter, if you need 20 minutes, you've got 20 minutes. Did you have to really kind of scale down? I mean, how many pitches did you have to work out how to get ready in 15 to 20 pitches? I mean, how did that work? You know, when you do that for the first time, how is it that you kind of get to that point of feeling like, okay, I'm warm, I'm ready to go in on short notice? Because, again, you've never done that before.
When that phone rings and, hey, we need Tucker hot, all right, that adrenaline kicks in real quick and you've already thrown that day. So your body, you've been stretching, like, okay, I have an idea I might throw today. So you're starting to lock in, and that phone rings, and it's you grab the ball, you get the catcher down there, and you say, hey, let's go throw a couple of minutes. Let's see what I have today. It's, okay, fastball's not spotting real well right now. Let's see what the off-speed looks like. Let's see what the changeup is today. So you get warm, and then you have your eight pitches out there. And that's really what you get warm in the bullpen, and then your eight pitches out there is, all right, let's find the strike zone, let's find this. And then you got to think, okay, I've got 3, 4, and 5 here. You've got to lock in, because 3, 4, and 5 on most clubs are prospects. Yeah. They're pretty good. So you have to lock in, and there might be bases loaded, no outs, and you're going to be, I've got to save the starter's ERA right now, and I've got to get outs really quickly. So it was a learning experience, and I'm glad it was a big difference, but I'm glad I learned how to do that.
So you wrap up your first year, you know, which is basically got to be kind of a whirlwind in some ways. I mean, because it's a long year for one thing. I mean, you were coming from JUCO ball where – the season starts basically as the calendar flips to the new year.
I mean, exactly.
So you go from that. I can't remember. Did you go to Instructs after the year?
I did not.
Okay. I was going to say, there comes a point where it's like, okay, you got to shut it down. But
yeah, I was at 100 innings on the year, and I was baseballed out for the year. I was ready for some time off, and then I took a month off of not doing anything. I was like, I need to give my body a break, and then I was ready to get back on the horse and ready to get going again.
And I was going to say, and you also, that was the Complex League, which is an experience in itself.
Yes.
You're not one who's been from areas where you haven't gotten a little bit used to heat and humidity, but the GCL is not exactly a league where you better be able to handle it being a little bit warm.
Cause yes, it is hot.
it's very. But so coming out of that, coming into 2017, I mean, did you feel like, okay, I mean, you had a really good debut, pro debut. Did you feel like, was there anything in particular, like this is the off-season to-do list for me, or was it something where just basically making sure that you were in the shape you wanted to be, your arm was where you wanted to be going into the 2017 season?
My biggest goal was I wanted to increase velocity because I'd hit 94 a couple times. I'd do about 88, 92 on most days. If I was feeling good, I'd touch a 93, 94. So my big thing was I want to gain velocity, especially if I'm going to be out of the pen, because at 88, 92 nowadays is not very hard. And that's scary because back in the day from left-handed pitchers, they used to be really hard. So that was my big focus. I want to get in shape. I want to be able to handle going playing from February, whenever spring training starts, all the way till August, or if I have to go to Instructs, that type of thing. So I really I had to learn how to eat correctly. I had to learn how to take care of my body all the time. I had to lift after I threw bullpens. I had to get ready for the heat and all that stuff. So it kind of took mentally and physically. You got to be ready for the long haul.
So what did you do to do that? I mean, there's a lot of different ways now. I mean, this is something where it's the advantage of being a pitcher in 2018, 2017, what we're talking about now, compared to, say, 1987. But what did you do during the off season to say, okay, I'm going to build velocity?
I got a personal trainer, Ralph Roberts. He was with the Braves in the early 2000s, and he's living in Amarillo. And I called him, and he was like, all right, what are your goals for this off season? I was like, I want to get into shape, and I want to throw harder. And he was looking at me the first day. He's like, you're going to gain 2 or 3 just by working out with me. And so I was pumped about that. And in college, I found out about the driveline program and started doing that. And I really bought in on it. And I started seeing gains in it quickly. And I was like, okay, my command's gotten better. My velocity's gotten better. And I just fell in love with doing that. And it became kind of a routine. It was, I'd go lift, I would go throw, and then I'd kind of plan my week out. Like, okay, I'm going to throw a bullpen this day. I'm going to work on, okay, I'm just going to work on fastballs today. I'm going to work on off speed today, or whatever my goal was for that day. And I would just try to master. I'd just try to, okay, change ups. I'm throwing a flat ground today, a couple fastballs, and then mainly change ups. And then in college, I couldn't throw a change up 55 feet. It was terrible. My coach is like, you've got to be able to throw a changeup as a starter. So I'm trying different grips and everything.
Especially as a lefty.
Finally found a grip that I could throw over the plate, and it was, okay, now let's try to get some movement on this. Let's try to get it consistent in the strike zone. And that was another big goal of last year, was be able to find a changeup, because I'd heard from numerous scouts, numerous coaches, hey, you've got to be able to throw a changeup. So that was kind of an off-season goal too, but mainly it was just, my biggest goal was I want to make it to Rome. I want to make it to a full season. I don't want to go to extended. That was my goal, was I want to break with a full season team, and I want to be there from April. I don't want to go back to Orlando for extended because I'm pitching bad. It was, I want to be there and I want to stay there.
So you show up in spring training. Do you have a pretty good feeling that there's a little bit more in the tank, a little bit more, there's a couple ticks more there than there were the year before?
Well, the place where I throw at in Amarillo, Five-Tool Baseball, they have a radar gun right there on the mound. So you throw a pitch and you're getting instant feedback. Okay, that was 92.4 miles an hour. So I started seeing jumps where I would, I think my first 10, I was like 90 to 92, and I was like, whoa, I've never been able to do that first 10. And then I hit 95 for the first time, and I was like, whoa, this is, there's something in there this year. And just kept pushing and wanted to keep throwing harder. And that's been a goal of mine this year, is I want to throw harder each year. Each year I want to get stronger. I want to get mentally stronger at the game. I want to improve off speed, and I want to be throwing hard where it's great. Tucker's coming out of the pen, or he's starting today. It's one of those things, and we're going to have to worry about the fastball, and then we're going to have to worry about the changeup that he has or the curveball. And that's just me pushing myself each day of getting stronger in the weight room and doing all these things that help you improve over the long haul of the season.
So you get out there in spring training. Now, I mean, obviously, you know, we talk, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, when you have more velocity, I mean, what does that mean? What does that mean? But what did it mean for you? I mean, when you're facing hitters and all of a sudden there's a couple more ticks there, I mean, can you, does it, can you see a difference in kind of how the hitters were reacting to you?
They were, I think a lot of them that I played with were surprised and kind of, well, he didn't have that last summer, and I could feel the ball jumping out of my hand a little better, and I was just getting later swings on everything, and that was something that I was like, whoa, this is kind of cool. I can throw up in the zone now. I don't have to just be worrying about movement all the time. It was, I can get away with some things, like just say I throw a bad pitch and it's still 95 miles an hour, I'm getting away with it at times. I mean, hitters are so good nowadays that, yeah, you might throw 95 to 100, but if you can't throw it over the strike zone and low or wherever that hitter's weakness is, you're still going to get hit.
But right, but it does give you a little bit more. When you're throwing 88 to 92, yes, and you make a mistake, it's almost always getting hit nowadays.
They might be on it, but they might just barely miss it because it was that harder. They might be late and fouling it off, and it's, okay, now you set up the inside part of the plate for me. You set up away, or you set up the changeup or the curveball now. That's what I had to learn, was just how to pitch now with higher velocity, because I used to just, in junior college, I used to just throw fastballs, get them swinging at it, and then throw an off-speed pitch and let them get themselves out.
So, and then you get the, you know, spring training's an interesting thing, you know, because it's obviously, it's something where everyone's trying to basically, you know, that you are, you're trying to get your work and you're trying to get ready for the season, but it's also, as you said, I mean, you had this goal kind of sit in your head. Okay, I want to be headed to Rome. I want to be headed to Rome. That's, mm-hmm. And you know, part of, I mean, how you do in spring is going to partly determine that, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's a competition every day. Whether it's, we're just doing PFPs or we're just doing conditioning that day in the weight room, it's, okay, what am I doing today to get better to push towards my goal of going to Rome? And each outing, I mean, it's stressful. I'm not going to lie. Where you have to, you're competing against Joey Wins, Cal Muller, Ian Anderson, all those guys. Those guys, hey, they're probably going to Rome, and it's like, I want to be right there with them. I want to be, whenever they're coming out of the sixth inning, it's, Tucker, you got 7-8. All right, I'm going to be there. I'm going to keep us in the game. I'm going to give us a chance to win, because at the end of the day, I'm competitive and I want to win. And I've always been like that. I do not like to lose. I don't care if we go 17 innings and we win, I'm happy about it. But if we go 9 innings and lose 11 to nothing, I'm going to be mad about it. But you got to shake it off and worry about the next day.
So you get the, you find out, okay, you are headed to Rome, right?
Yes. And I'm relieved, but now it's, okay, let's get better. Let's keep improving. And the next goal was, I want to go to high A. I just want to keep getting better. I want to strike people out. I want to get out. So I just want to keep constantly getting better at my game.
But, okay, so you start out in the pen, and the fastball velo keeps ticking up a little bit, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you went from, you know, again, the year before, 88, 92, touching some threes and fours, and out of the pen, all of a sudden, you're starting to see fives and sixes and even a few sevens, right?
Yes.
That's got to make you're a little bit different pitcher then, aren't you? I mean, you don't...
Yeah, definitely. You have to learn how to pitch differently. I mean, I'm used to just throwing two seams out and away and letting them swing and ground out, but now it's, okay, it's 0-2. Let's rear back and throw this thing and let's light up a radar gun and see if he hits it. And if he hits it, make a better pitch next time. But it's one of those things you've got to learn each year, like you're a different pitcher. I mean, Colby Allard's a different pitcher than he was 2 years ago. Ian Anderson's a different pitcher than he was 2 years ago. And it's one of those things each year you're getting stronger. You might have a better curveball now. You might have a better changeup. You might be throwing a split finger now. You've got to learn what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, and you've got to keep getting better at your strengths and then improving your weaknesses.
So you're kind of rolling along, and now again, I'm going to ask you what one of the ways I had, you know, kind of told to me was, is there was an outing against Asheville that was kind of, you know, an eye opener. Because, I mean, you just basically were really locked in that day. But before long, all of a sudden, you're having a conversation and they're saying, okay, well, you know, we're moving you to a different role, right?
It was right after the All-Star break. I hit, I think, my last two outings before All-Star break, I went like 3-4 innings. And I was the long man at times, and then I would close. I was kind of all over the place, but it was kind of, okay, this is weird. Came back after All-Star break and went 4 innings, and we were getting whooped, and I was getting hit around a little bit. And Dan Meyer, the pitching coach, came up to me the next day and was like, we wanted you to see how you were going to react last night, and we wanted to stretch you out because we want you to be a starter now. So that kind of hit me like, whoa, I just went from being in the pen for the first half of the season, now I'm a starter. And it kind of – okay, my conditioning changes, the way I throw bullpens. It was just I've got to relearn how to do all this stuff that I've been doing in pro ball all of a sudden. And it took some adjusting. It took time talking to Joey Wentz and Bryce Wilson and understanding, like, hey, like, what do y'all do on off days? What are your lifting like? How many pitches do you throw in your bullpen in between starts? What do you do the day before starts? Like, do you have anything, like, some tips and stuff? And they were really – they're really open to it with, like, yeah, let's help this guy because he's going to help our team and that type of thing.
And you were joining. Hey, welcome to one of the most stacked rotations in the minors.
Oh, it was incredible. It was so much fun to be around because Joey Wentz, he had one of the most dominant Julys I've ever seen in my life. It seemed like he was going seven inning shutouts every start. And I was like, I want to do that. And it kind of became a competition. None of us actually made a competition, but – it was,
yeah, but I mean, you're charting, and then you want to do as well.
Exactly, if not better. And it was, okay, Bryce went 6 innings, 8 Ks. I'm going to go 7 innings, 9 Ks, whatever it was. And it kind of it helped us improve as a staff overall. And Jeremy Walker started figuring it out a lot over the second half. And it was just a lot of fun to, hey, like we would be on the game chart and the radar gun. It was, hey, how did the curveball look? What was the velo today? Or was it sharp? Or was it loopy, or what was it? And it was, hey man, you were just falling off a little bit, because we could see things that from mm-hmm. behind the plate, and it was really fun. We could just help each other grow so much.
So you go back, you go into the rotation, but the thing that stands out is you have a pitch now that you're comfortable with that you did not have the last time you were a starter, right?
Exactly. And I'd never really learned how to pitch, so I'm having to learn when to throw a changeup, being confident in it and allowing myself to get outs with it and just trusting it. Because at first I was like, I'd thrown probably 5 changeups all the whole time I was a reliever. And I think in the first 2 innings of my first start, I threw 5 changeups and I was like, okay, I don't know when to call this. I don't know when to throw it, where to throw it, who to throw it to. And so I'm constantly watching. I love watching Clayton Kershaw. So I'm watching him pitch every 5 days. I'm watching him, okay, what does he do 1-2? What does he do to these guys? What does he do to the 3-hole hitters? What type of stuff does he do that I can pick up on? And just learning the game, because it's a total different aspect. And so it's different, but I loved it at the same time because I was learning each day.
And so you said, like, that with the changeup, you'd found a grip and all, but, I mean – was that the biggest thing, was finding a grip you were comfortable with, or you know, what?
Yeah, mainly just being able to throw to the strike zone, and then I knew once I was comfortable with a grip, I could start learning how to put side spin on it. I could learn how to take velo off of it. But at first, I just had to learn how to throw it over the plate.
So But once you start using it, the reports I have from scouts is that that ended up being, you know, kind of a pretty primary weapon for you by the end of the year. I mean, what did it feel like for you?
I started really liking it about August. I fell in love with it. I mean, I figured out how to throw it, when to throw it. I learned how to put movement on it, change speeds with it. And it really helped my fastball because it made them honor the velocity with it. It was all of a sudden, okay, that's 85. No, it's 94, 95. And so they're having to honor it. And then that helps my curveball even more because it's, okay, he could throw his changeup here. He could throw curveball. He trusts that. He loves his fastball, that type of thing. So it was learning how to now pitch with it now that I'm comfortable with it.
So this is kind of, I mean, the thing that jumps out to me, like you said, it's a progression. And it's one, I mean, the key for this in some ways is to kind of love what you do, is it not? Because this is kind of the fun of the, I mean, there's a lot of work involved in this, but this is also the fun of it. You're discovering things as you go. You know,
yes, exactly. That was fun about it.
You're a different pitcher now than you were the you know, the day that you saw your name come across on Twitter. I mean, that's
exactly 100%.
And you know, when you said like this, now every off season you got. So what is what's the off season? You know, the plan this year. What's the goals when you? It's not even that far away now. But when you head to Florida in the not so distant future. You know, how do you hope to be a better pitcher in 2018 than you were in 17?
I want to keep improving the changeup because, I mean, I'm never satisfied. I had a good instructs with it. I really learned how to make it move. I learned how to do all the things with it. But it was, now let's make it even better. Let's be able to throw it 3-0 and not be afraid to. Or if you get behind the count, let's be able to throw it. And, I mean, I'm constantly just challenging myself of, okay, let's get the curveball better today, or let's work on fastball command to the glove side, or just different things. Or if I'm just working mechanically, I just want to work on throwing changeups away or getting over my front leg better or staying back or whatever the goal is for that bullpen that day. It was one of those things that just getting better each day to improve myself. So whenever my name's called of, hey, you're going to Florida, or my goal this offseason was I want to make it to Mississippi at some point this year. If it's out of spring training or if it's midseason or in August or whenever it is, that's my goal is I want to end up in Double-A at some point this year. And I just want to find a way to what's going to help me get there. Is it striking guys out or is it being able to throw three pitches consistently for strikes or just dominating guys every day, every time I start, or if it's out of the bullpen again, if they choose to, they want me to do that again, whatever it might be, just how am I going to get better? So, because at the end of the day, my goal is to be a major league pitcher. I want to be pitching for the Braves when this rebuild's completely over, whenever I've got Dansby and Ozzie Albies out there at the middle and Ronald Acuna in the outfield. And I just want to be able to say, I'm ready. I'm ready for this task. I'm ready to take on anything right now.
Okay, that leads me to one I got to ask you, which is that you had a pretty special center fielder backing you up back there defensively.
Yes.
What is it like, especially, you know, whether you're charting, whether you're in the dugout, you know, in the bullpen, but especially when you're on the mound and you have a center fielder with the defensive gifts, the defensive skills, I guess I should say, that Christian Pache has?
It is incredible. I've never seen a kid run like that and be able to throw like that before in my life. He made some plays like, I was like, oh, that's a bomb. And all of a sudden, Christian Pache is running it down and then flinging it over to first base and gets this guy out. And I'm like, how did he just do that?
You think that you're in trouble, and instead there's two outs.
Yeah, he bails you out, and you're like, how did he? And then you just go high-five, and you're just like, oh, my, how did he just do that? Like, it's really incredible. I'm like, how he can do all those things, and he's 19, 18 years old. And I mean, you could see the immaturity in that because at the midpoint of the season, he's like, I've got a good arm and nobody's running on him, but he's trying to make plays. And then he kind of found his own of, okay, run on me, I dare you. And if you don't, I'm going to get it into my shortstop and we're going to go from there. But it was absolutely incredible what he can do on the defensive side. And his stick started coming around later in the year, and I was really impressed on how he grew. He stopped chasing curveballs as much, but his defense defensively, he's ready to play in the big leagues, I think. And he does things that people you're going to see on SportsCenter from years to come, and it's incredible.
Okay, another kind of random question. I'm not trying to play on spot too much here, but you had, like I said, it was a really crazily talented pitching staff that you guys had in Rome. If you were putting together a pitcher, a Frankenstein pitcher, so it could be Ian Anderson's fastball, or it could be Joey Wentz's chain. But if you were talking about the ideal pitcher from the guys that you worked with there in Rome, what would it be? What would be that pitcher?
I'm definitely going Ian Anderson fastball, because his arm is just electric, and the way he can throw it down with that angle, I'm definitely taking that. Joey Wentz's changeup is filthy, and we played catch every day, and it was, how do you do that?
Because it's not just that he can he's got the deception, he can locate, but as you said, like when you're working on your changeup, it's that movement you throw in there that makes it all of a sudden.
Exactly. Just, hey, how do you throw that? Like, it would just be, hey, how's mine looking today? And he's ripping them right back to me, and it's like, okay, I want to be able to do that type of thing. And then I've got to go Bryce Wilson's command. I mean, I remember I think he threw like 80 pitches and like 65 strikes, and he's like, I got to command the ball better. And I'm like, Bryce, like, what are you talking about right now? You just shoved. And that's the fun part about our group. It was just, we were so competitive with ourselves. It was, okay, we gave up a run and we're mad about it. And it's like, you just went six innings, one run, and you're mad about it. And that was the fun part to see.
Okay, well, what about there's got to be a breaking ball here.
I really like my breaking ball, but Thomas Burrows, he has a disgusting slider, so I wouldn't mind having that.
Well, you could use both. I mean, that's the thing. You could be a four pitch pitcher, this Frankenstein pitcher. So
exactly.
So that works, And then the other thing with that is, I'll ask you, since the Salad League had a pretty impressive group of talent this year, who was the hitter, or who were a couple of hitters that really was like, man, you just knew it was going to be a long day when you faced that guy, because this guy, he was going to battle you.
Oh, goodness. There was just so much talent. I think his name was Willie Abreu from Asheville. Mm-hmm. He had my number. I'd either throw it past him or I'd hit it off the wall. Let's see. Blake Rutherford, he always put really well at bats against me before he got traded, because mm-hmm. we didn't play Kannapolis the second half. Randy Ventura, he was on my team, and I'm so glad I didn't have to face him, because he would hit a ground ball to shortstop and beat it out.
That's the base hit for him.
Yeah, and I'd be so mad if I was opposing pitcher, because his speed is just something incredible.
No, it's, and then when he got traded, you didn't have to worry about it, because he was in the Midwest League. So,
Exactly.
Nothing to worry about there. Although, this year you could end up having to face him, because...
Yes, I could.
They have a Florida State League team as well, so...
Yes, and I'm going to have to figure out how to get him out.
But the other thing I did want to ask with that is kind of just wrapping this up, like... You now are. I mean, obviously, you're still several steps away from the goal, because no one's goal is to be a minor league pitcher. Everyone's goal is to be, like you said, a major league pitcher. You want to be part of the Braves team that is, that is basically, the rebuild is over, and you guys are powering them to, to wins. But at the same time, what does it mean, for your friends and family? Because for them, I have to imagine there is a certain amount. You're in the middle of it every day, but for them, there's a certain amount of the dream. You're already in the middle of the dream now, and that's something that I got to imagine it has to be pretty special.
It is something really special. I mean, my friends will text me after an outing, and they'll be like, "Hey, good job today," or "Hey, throw better next time," and kind of give me a hard time with my good outings. So let me know, or if, "Hey, you need to throw better," and I'm like, "I struck out 8 or whatever it is, but it's fun because they're hearing instant feedback of, we have a group message with a couple friends, and I'll send whatever my line was that night, and someone will be like, "You stink," or "You can do better," blah, 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 or "Cool, I don't care," or something like that. Just give me a hard time, but it's really fun to, whenever I go back home, to see all of them again, because you're away from your friends and family for a long time. My mom, she made it out a couple times this year, but it's a long season without seeing your friends and family.
I mean, and you're talking February till October, really.
Exactly. I mean, it's a long time, and that's the hard part of you don't get to see your parents every day. You're FaceTiming them on the bus at 1 o'clock in the morning because that's the only time you have. And because during the day you're sleeping to catch up on sleep, or you're at the field getting early BP in or throwing a bullpen that day. So you really have to take advantage of your off season of seeing your friends and your family, because Christmas is a huge time for us, because it's one of those few times that the entire family's together and you're able to hang out with them and enjoy the off time, because, you know, come February, it's, hey, I might not see you till October, like, have a great summer. And it's always sad whenever I have to leave my friends. We'll go have dinner the night before we leave, and it's, hey, I'm going to see you in September, that type of thing. And it's kind of, it kind of hurts a little bit, because you're like, all right, like, I grew up with you and that type of thing, and you're working now, and I'm over here gone for 8-9 months of the year, and it's just hard to see. But, and again, it's part of the dream, and they understand that, like, we're doing this because it's something not everybody gets to do, and they're really proud of us, so it's fun.
Well, the last one, because we talked a little bit about what you were as a pitcher in junior college, but, okay, compare Tucker Davidson high school senior to Tucker Davidson 20, like I said, we're not going to even go into 2018 yet, but to what you were in 17. So you didn't have the changeup. But so as a high school senior, how hard were you throwing?
I hit 92 once, and I think it was because there were 16 scouts at this game. Because I can't remember who we were playing, but they had another highly touted draft pick that year, and I was just geared up. I was like, okay, this is my time to shine. And I remember striking him out, and all the guns go down, and I start writing on this clipboard. So that kind of hit me, and it was, I didn't have the curveball I have now. I didn't have the fastball command nearly. I used to walk people, and that I took that to heart. Was on every scouting report, I'm sure, was good arm, bad command. And that kind of took me of, okay, I'm no longer going to walk people. I'm going to stay consistently around the strike zone. I want to get people to hit the ball and get outs. Because in high school, I used to think, I'm just going to strike everybody out, let the stat line look cool, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, guys, as you get older, are going to start hitting the ball. They're going to ground up to your shortstop, and you got to thank him each time. Hey, thank you. That was a bad pitch, and he got himself out, and he got me out of that. So I just really learned of, I got to be consistently in the strike zone and getting outs, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to get you up there, is getting outs. How well can you get outs?
To just kind of follow up with that, so what have you done? Like, obviously, some of it is just you keep working, and, you know, and also I know increased strength kind of can help command, because you can repeat more consistently because you're stronger. But if you say, you know, what is it? I mean, are there delivery changes you've made? Are there things you've done that, like, allow you to repeat more consistently, or, you know, to locate better?
I think getting a better shape. I mean, my nickname from, I think it was the Blue Jay scout whenever I was at Midland, he was, your nickname for me in high school was the Michelin Man, because I was 6'2", 240, and just terrible, out of shape. I didn't look good in a baseball uniform. I just had a good arm, so that drew attention. But it got to the point of, I've got to be able to take care of my body and get into shape, and that really helped me of opening up my hips and allowing myself to get down the mound and be able to be more consistent in the strike zone. So I think totally getting my body into shape and looking better and feeling strong all the time.
And that's, you know, yeah, I mean, again, that kind of naturally gets you into, you know, better position pitch after pitch after pitch, because
exactly,
you can do that. But, well, Tucker, I really appreciate this. I really enjoyed this. And, you know, again, it's fun to me. You are now a top prospect. But at the same time, and again, kind of what you're saying, I don't mean it in any slight, but it's always fun to me to talk to guys who've worked to get to that point, because kind of by your own description, that was not, you know, if we were talking 3 years ago, that was not you, you know. So I do hope you enjoy the ride. I, you know, and also the thing that's great about the guys who kind of worked to this point doesn't mean if you got a lot, you know, if you kind of were, you know, a name at 15 that you don't work hard too, but you've got the incentive.
Exactly.
You've got that incentive to keep working at it, because, you know, you've had to basically work really hard to get to this point and now to keep it going.
Exactly.
You know, but again, I really do appreciate it. Thank you for the time. You know, we hope you've enjoyed this kind of a look into the, you know, the burgeoning career of Braves left-hander Tucker Davidson. And we appreciate you listening to another episode of the Baseball America Prospect Podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.